Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The apostles have been traveling with Jesus on this road as he sets his face to Jerusalem. And he's bid them to go out and to heal and to preach and to tell the good news. They've heard this incredible parable about Lazarus and the rich man, and they're beginning to wonder whether or not they can really pull this off. Jesus has said all of these hard sayings to them time and time again, and finally they throw up their hands and they say, "Increase our faith. We can't possibly do all of this stuff. If you increase our faith, then we'll have the strength to do what you're calling us to do." And Jesus says, "Oy vey, if you just had the faith of a mustard seed, just a tiny little bit of faith, if you even saw that in yourselves, you would be able to say to this tree, 'Tree, be rooted up and planted in the ocean.' You could do anything if you just had that much faith." Increase our faith, they say. It's maybe a phrase we would say ourselves in times of difficulty. Increase our faith, God. Increase my faith so that I can get through these difficult times. But Jesus, if you read the rest of that text, is trying to tell the disciples, "You already have the faith you need." We say, "Increase our faith," in hopes that we will gain more. But what if God said, "Okay, I'll do that. Give us more faith. Okay, I'll do that." It's a scary proposition, isn't it? Because from our faith comes things like charity and care and love. Increase my faith, God, so that I can go and actually feed the hungry instead of talk about it. Increase my faith. And God says yes. And then suddenly, you actually have to do what he says. Like, give everything away to the poor and follow Jesus. Now you see, the cool thing is that we have a built-in excuse, all of us, for why we can't quite follow the way. We have just enough faith to go to church, but not quite enough to be the church. See, Lord, I would love to do all of that stuff, but you know, I'm a little short of faith. I'll just sit here and wait. I'm sure we'll get plenty. Or even more, you know, Lord, I would love to do that, but it just so happens that Randy Christensen has. He has all the faith everybody else needs, and so we'll let Randy do it. We have this wonderful excuse, but see, in this text, Jesus takes that excuse away. What if God did say yes? What would the world look like? So when the disciples are called to go out and do all of these things, they can't see in themselves the possibility. "I don't have enough faith. Increase our faith." But Jesus says, "You already have it in you. It's already been given to you as a gift." It's not something I asked one of the children, "How big is a mustard seed?" And she said, "It's got to be this big," right? You already have it in you. I used to go camping, and one of the games that I used to love to do was early in the morning before everybody else would get up, I would get up, and I would see if I could get the fire started again by just blowing on the embers. And so this is back when, of course, I could get on all fours and lean down to the fire. And I would blow on that fire in hopes that I could start it without a match, because it had taken 42 matches to start it the first time, and I was out. And I would get down on my hands and knees and I would blow, and there would begin to see just the smallest glowing ember. And you blow the white ash off and it starts to get hotter and hotter, and you throw a pine cone on there, and before you know it, you have coffee. It was a great game. In a way, that may be what our faith is called to as the people of God. Every one of us has within us the gift that God has given us in Jesus Christ to be God's people. But what we sometimes need is a little breath, a little bit of that ruach, that God's spirit that we blow for one another, so that that faith can glow in us. Blow in each other with song and spirit and worship, with a kind word, with sharing our wealth, with giving ourselves away. Just blow a little bit to be unafraid, as it says in the second lesson, to have the courage to share the breath that is in us for the sake of our neighbor. And it glows a little fire, and then a little more, and a little more, and before you know it, you're on fire. That little seed has started to grow within you so much that it's folded itself around all of your insides and it's popping out of your mouth. And before you know it, you're saying Christian things and doing Christian things, and it's a shock. Pretty soon it becomes so much a part of your life that you cannot imagine ever living without it. It begins by knowing that God has already given you all the faith you need. It may be a little ashed over sometimes, and sometimes we draw on it at the worst times of our life, when we're in an illness or when something terrible happens to us. But imagine if indeed God said yes to our increase our faith. Imagine if indeed we could have that ember glow in us anew and a fire begun. What that would look like for the world. When Jesus sends out his disciples to do what they're supposed to do, they come back and they're all full of themselves. And Jesus says, well, what do you expect? I remember when I was a kid and I would come back and say, well, Dad, I finished all the weeding I was supposed to do. I'd say, what do you want, a medal? In a way, that's what Jesus says. Look, do your ministry and then be content. Let that fire burn within you and share it with the whole world. And that's enough. The slave doesn't come in from his work and then the master say, hey, have a seat, relax, put your feet up, let me get dinner for you. You do your work. We do our work of ministry. And maybe that's what faith looks like. Maybe it isn't this great, huge thing where we go out and we're really able to go out and cure the lame, heal the blind. Maybe it's not that big. Maybe it's the little breaths that we breathe on people of a kind word, of a loving gesture. And maybe bit by bit we grow in our love for each other in the world, so that the crazies don't happen anymore, so that we can truly begin to dismantle corporate greed, so that a young man doesn't have to be so ashamed of his sexuality that he jumps off the George Washington Bridge, so that love can flourish where God has planted it, that mustard seed, and then grow. I urge us to our ministry, which begins in the cross, which begins in a world that God breathed on and gave God's Spirit. I urge you to grow in your life together, to be fanned in your faith, in worship and song and love, so that you could do nothing less than pour it out on the world. And then, as Paul says to Timothy, be content in your ministry. You already have the faith of a mustard seed. Amen.